Hello and welcome to this episode of Mostly Nothing, the Louis Farrugh review. I don't even know if that's going to be what it's going to be called, but yeah, we go into some deep stuff in this episode, don't we, Diego?
We decided to just sit and talk a bit about, well, anything really, just chill a little bit and see what comes out of it. And we ended up, pretty much doing a Louis Theroux review because we were binge watching some of his episodes on Netflix last night, and it got pretty deep. So we're talking about his experience with living amongst Nazis and gambling addicts, and I guess we talk about a bit how come these ideologies flourish and come to existence, and how dangerous they can be for people, but at the same time how important it is that we know about this so we can actually do something about it and know how to avoid it.
Absolutely. We hope you enjoy this episode. Don't forget to follow us on our social media. We're very active on Instagram, and drop us 5 stars if you're feeling it, and a review on Apple Podcasts.
We hope you enjoy.
We went a bit on a documentary binge, I would say, which I love to do now and then,
it's the best stuff.
Yeah, it's the good stuff.
Shit about aliens and love it.
Hitler's escape.
Oh, yeah. That one was pretty crazy.
You really enjoyed that, didn't you? Yeah. Would you say you changed minds or what did you think before that documentary?
I'd say I've always thought that he survived, that he somehow escaped. I believe that, the fact that they never found a body and the whole story surrounding it was a bit, blurry.
Vague.
Yeah. So I'd say, and considering who he was at the time, I'm sure he probably had some kind of plan for when things went wrong.
But they went really deep with that documentary, didn't they? Like the evidence that they pulled up.
Yeah, when they found out the tunnel. Nice.
Yeah.
Like underneath that garden, it was like a hotel, right?
Yes, and then there was all that, all the eyewitnesses and that old woman on her deathbed.
Yeah, saying that she saw Hitler, post-World War II. And she was like, it was him.
In the hotel.
In the hotel. Ooh, it's they found it. Look, the tunnels,
I think there's more evidence to say that he didn't die where Wikipedia states he died and how he died. I just don't think so. I think it's time to update that history with the evidence we have. I don't know. Yeah. I think it is.
People shouldn't just... I know people try to kind of erase that period of history and kind of just leave it behind, but I think it's really important to actually understand what happened because of how, horrible it was, and how how could have things gone that far? And then it's crazy. Last night we were watching the Louis Theroux documentaries from was released more than 15 years ago.
Yeah, a really long time ago.
A long time ago, and that episode where he just goes and meets the Nazis, and I was thinking, isn't it crazy this ideology? To this day, it's still a thing in some people's minds to that extreme.
Firstly, I just want to say, hands down to him for the way he goes about documenting this stuff. It's incredible. He really, gets in there. He really, gets down with the dirty, and he really goes for it.
And he's real. He's so... honest about his feelings. He really tells them, look, I don't agree with that. I think that's totally wrong. And have you ever thought of it in this way or that way? And, it takes some kind of courage to do that.
My goodness, absolutely.
This English guy in the middle of America just going to these houses to meet these ex-KKK leaders. And that's pretty...
Yeah, and, he really... keeps it professional, but like you said, real. And we were saying as well, it's really great that the stuff is out there, and it really has to be shown, and it should be shown. And it's brilliant that it's shown in such a, I don't know, it's just done so well. It's done really well.
And it's still relevant to this day, you know, with everything that happened this year with the Black Lives Matter movement and all of that. Obviously, racism is unfortunately still a very hot topic. Unfortunately, because it's almost like it should be a thing of the past, right? But it's not that straightforward, unfortunately. Yeah. Well, and it was very clear by watching, you know, in that documentary, those parents indoctrinating their kids from such a young age to a level that I thought that was just, for me, that was the most shocking part of the entire thing.
And this is literally them feeding racism into their lives as if it's the only thing that matters. You know, from morning to night, it's the songs that the kids sing, it's the books that the kids read, it's the cartoons that they watch, and it's the only video games they're allowed to play. Some sort of form of, you know, just hate and
the racism. The two little sisters chanting those, my God, absurdly racist lyrics, and the mum is looking at them
with so much pride.
But I don't know, I see pride, but at the same time, it's like she has this attentive look, like, you better not get that wrong.
Oh, absolutely.
You didn't get that from the mum?
Oh, yeah, that's true, that's true.
She's looking at them, yeah, sing that and sing it right. You know, there's so much anger. There was so much anger in that woman. It's really sad, actually.
Yeah, that's true. But I think at the same time, there is this kind of tiny bit of, I think, pride coming through. Like, but it's like a sickening pride. I don't know. It's sickening. It is.
Obviously, these kids in that specific environment, they're being homeschooled, which makes things so much worse when your mom is just this psychotic, like, Nazi. I mean, obsessive.
And yeah, she's, I think, obsessive is a really good word for it.
Homeschooling these kids. I'm curious, because this was more than 15 years ago. These kids are now young adults. I challenge Louis Theroux to go back and see, you know, what's happening.
Yeah, that'd be really interesting.
To see what came out of it. Because I'm not very optimistic about how those kids turn out to become as adults. Because you don't really have many options. The information you're getting, so.
But yeah, but I mean, like we said, it's also you do have to look at it optimistically. Like, you know, this stuff is getting put out there, and slowly and surely they will hopefully see the light, and it's something that, you know, needs to.
This is on Netflix, by the way, people.
Go
just if you want to watch it.
Yes, please do.
Louis Theroux, he has a few episodes there.
Yeah, quite a few. And I literally would have been so happy just to sit there and watch one after the other. I want to actually continue watching them. They're incredible. They're very eye-opening.
Eye-opening, and reminds you of the importance of freedom of speech. Because it's really important that we let these people, all right, say what they think, so we can then understand how wrong it is.
Yeah, and where the work needs to be put in.
Because when you see these extreme ideologies being acted out, you can somehow better understand what to avoid, to not go there. And that's why it's so important for us to have this stuff out there and not just try to kind of hide it and forget that there's still people like that. And that's not going to help anyone, including those people, because I do believe that some of them could potentially become really pleasant human beings. But when you grow up in that tight bubble,
echo chamber, you know, of course. It needs to be exposed. It does need to be exposed, yeah. I totally agree.
Yeah, definitely. And we live in a time when, you know, this cancel culture where people just get suppressed for everything, for saying really bad stuff and also for saying really good stuff. And that's why we kind of need to let everything come out so that, you know, people are not that dumb. People will know how to properly judge these ideas and understand that they're wrong.
Yes. And from that, they learn where the line needs to be put. And only through that.
But what social media is doing is just allowing these people to communicate between each other inside that, like you were saying, that echo chamber. And And that's actually allowing them to grow. And now, you know.
And for these ideologies to literally become their, absolutely their world. All they think about, all they, you know, literally eat, sleep, breathe.
And then just look at the facts, you know, in Austria, was it Austria that, the right-wing, extreme right-wing party almost won the elections. And it says a lot. We've been doing so much to stop hate speech. So much to control that, and in the end, look, it's just, it's doing the opposite.
The absolute opposite, yeah. But you know what, I was really, I really enjoyed that Las Vegas one. It was, because it was just so amusing to some extent, but really sad to another.
So sad. It's an addiction.
It really is.
So this episode was the one about gambling addiction, following these guys going into casinos in Vegas, right? Just blowing dollars.
Yeah, and I mean, some people not like, he really showed a nice, I think, a range of people. Some people, I think, there were who would literally go like once a year and just have a big blowout, and then there would be people who would go every single day. There was this one woman who went every single day for 7 years.
Yeah, 7 years.
And she spent 2 million?
Four.
4 million.
4 million in total, yeah.
4 million US dollars.
And then you had these phony, like these employees saying, oh, we're like family, we're like friends.
Oh my, those, yeah. Oh, and they would just egg them on.
And they were just like, squeezing them for money for years. Yeah, obviously being polite, I'm not saying the opposite, but behind it, it all seems a bit too fake.
Well, I mean, absolutely, you know, I think they have one aim, they really do, and I don't think you can call that a friendship. I don't, and if they truly think that, then I think they need to reassess what friendship is. Because it's not that. It's not watching someone in a vulnerable position giving into something that's clearly an addiction, a problem, something that is not benefiting them. You don't do that. You don't watch someone do that. You don't let someone
say anything. Yeah.
You don't.
I think after the first 2 million, they probably should have said something. Maybe, you know, I think you're playing a bit too much.
Yeah.
They don't at all. It's just, and the old lady, she was like, yeah, I enjoyed every second of it. And she was just playing slot machines.
Just right? Sitting, just like pressing, she's not even looking.
Just pressing a button, it had two buttons, the machine. And she, you know, going there every day for 7 years. It tells you deep inside there must be something really wrong with how her life went. You know, in a sense, she's obviously trying to escape something in the way I see it.
Well, absolutely. But I think at the same time, you know, it's just she has built this, she's getting this hit of pure excitement every time she wins. And it's just, she's become so, and but yes.
Addiction usually occurs when you,
yeah,
when you lack some kind of fundamental stimulus in your daily life, something, there's something missing, and you need to replace that with that immediate gratification get from those moments. And then it just can totally get out of control.
I mean, yeah, there was that guy who, I mean, I didn't think he like would go too often, but he went and he had said he had set himself a limit and a budget and he wouldn't go beyond that. And then he wouldn't even tell the camera how much he had lost. And like his face, like he was keeping this like grin, like a Cheshire cat, but you could see like in his eyes the pain that he had probably, I don't know, lost his fucking house. I don't know. He looked.
I don't know. I think that guy was down 60k. Then there was,
that was
the
a
other
different guy.
But the other guy, the really rich one, the one that had the best suite, he doesn't actually say how much he lost in the end. He prefers not to say it. The other guy said 60k, and obviously he didn't look very happy with that. Come on, blowing $60,000 just like that. I'm guessing for some people that's like peanuts, but still.
But still, even if it was just peanuts,
so many people.
That is still a lot of money. It's still a lot of money in regards to what it can do. Okay, there's no debate about that. go on a retreat or rehab with that money to like try and, you know, I don't know.
But we just, you know, we're judging, obviously.
But yeah.
It's not easy, obviously, because it's an addiction. it's a disease.
Yeah.
And to fix it is not as easy as saying, hey, you should do this instead. Absolutely. It's like they know. They know they shouldn't be doing that. They know they should be doing something else instead, but they can't control it. That's the problem.
But I don't know. That lady seemed, I mean, she looked really content doing what she was doing. I don't know. She actually genuinely looked happy. She looked like she was living the life. Like she looked like she'd
I don't know. I could see
her life. Like, you know, she was, I don't know. She looked like she had a good time, and I don't know, maybe
she always had shades on, didn't she?
Yeah, but it's
she had some shade,
you know, looks tired from like,
no, but the thing is when someone with shades you can't really tell how genuine they're actually being, because you can't see.
It's true,
you
it's
know,
true.
The eyes give it away.
Her cheerfulness though just really to some degree did feel like genuine.
Yeah.
She was a very cheerful lady, but that doesn't mean, you know, she wasn't someone who was suffering inside. That doesn't mean that at all.
And all the documentaries from Louis, they kind of go around that, because all this, you know, the Nazis with their moral dysfunction and then these gambling addicts, these are all people that are, you know, extremely confused and suffering in some way.
Absolutely, you know,
because I mean, you can't be, I don't know how happy you can be like that. I think fundamentally none of them looked that happy. They looked very angry.
No, they did. And
very angry all the time. No one can tell me what to do.
But that's,
and my
thing,
thoughts are all that matters. And, you know, it was just a bit too,
it was very defensive. It's very clear that there's a big part of them that I think very well knows what they're doing and their ideologies. I mean, when there's drinks being thrown at the kids from the cars, do they not stop to think?
Like, yeah, why are we, yeah,
you know, if
subjecting our kids to this?
If this is the response, then like, I really struggle to think that they don't, that doesn't kind of add a few dots up in their head. But I think they've just gone so far in it that it starts to just become, you know, the wiring of their brain.
It becomes who they are, and then they just can't let it go, because it would be too painful and it would take a lot of hard work to build something new. And that's why they can't let certain ideas behind, because
absolutely,
in the end, their lives, their existence was molded around that. That's who they are, and people are not very happy to let go of who they think they are.
Deep
deepness. But I want to watch the other episodes. I
Me
was like
too.
This is really good.
We could watch them later.
I mean, it's old, but at the same, it's not that old, but it's
I'm
kind of old, but still so
fresh at the same time.
Yeah, he was ahead of his time.
Oh, really. Wow, yeah.
I can see why he became such a well-known journalist, right? His foundation is journalism.
Yeah.
Pretty amazing stuff.
We watched a bit of the surgery one. Plastic surgery. Just a tiny bit. We need to finish it.
Yeah.
And that, there again, another addiction, another way of people trying to fill that void. It's a really sad one, because people can really end up destroying themselves.
Properly, yeah.
Do you remember that guy? I literally freaked out. Like, I turned my head to the screen and I freaked out.
I remember as a nursing student in one of my clinical placements, like one of the patients, this lady, she went to Brazil to do these breast implants, and then it got infected. And she went through, I don't know, 3 or 4 different surgeries to try to sort it out. You know, she ended up with really bad scars, no breasts. It's pretty intense. People should think these things. And I'm guessing, look, it can be very safe if you do it in a safe place, where obviously it will be more expensive. So you do require to have some kind of financial capacity. But is it really worth it?
I think that's what it is. I think that's what people have to think through is, are the risks really, really worth it?
Plastic surgery, look, it's wonderful. If you have, it's very sad when you have like terrible accidents that might deform you and that will really affect, you know, your self-esteem and, you know, your aesthetic and how you can present yourself to society. If you have a plastic surgery that can really help with that,
bring the confidence back in you, of course.
But, oh yeah, my nose is a bit too rounded. Let me just...
like, the thing is, now it's bit, become...
I don't know.
It's literally become as common as kids going to the candy store. Like, it really is. Like, I don't even... I didn't really, like, realize it until I really, like, started to pay attention a bit more. And it's nuts. It's so... okay now to go and get your lips, you know, done on the weekend.
Fuck Botox.
But yeah, Botox, boobs, butt implants. Like, when did that become a thing? Because that's really a thing now. Like, that's really a thing now.
I don't think, as a man, I don't think it's attractive at all. But I guess, you know, I'm not representing the entire...
Yeah, the men out there are going to be like, male. Shit, she didn't speak for us.
Yeah.
We like it.
We love big butts. Shut up.
And I cannot lie. Do you not think
that's
about
so
like...
sexy.
Sitting, like, how does a sitting situation work when you've got like... do you sit comfortably? I can't imagine.
I guess so. Maybe more comfortable than most. Just think about
sitting
it.
Sitting on something
like a
foreign, that's not your...
I
mean,
pillow.
I think the fact...
in your butt.
That the whole, like... aspect of putting these foreign objects in your body, which your body is most likely wanting, will be rejecting from you because it's foreign. It's not meant to be there.
But I guess as medicine gets better and better, it can be a very safe thing. It can, but I still don't find it worth
it.
I don't know.
I mean, still, it's still putting... I don't know.
It is. There's always going to be risks, probably. Always. Look, and you might be taking some medication, like anti-rejection medication, that might suppress your immune system. And then, yeah, your body doesn't reject the implants, but you might get some other kind of bad infection. You never know. It's one of those things.
Like Botox, especially. Botox has not been around long enough for us to have any idea of what that actually does.
Because the thing is, it's an extremely powerful toxin.
Extremely poisonous. Like, extremely. And expensive.
So we don't actually know the effects, the long-term effects of, let's say, having a Botox implant for, let's say, 30 years.
Nope.
That's dangerous.
And then to think that girls as young as, I don't know, fucking 15 are going and getting their lips done on the weekend.
I don't know. I find it hard to believe that it's absolutely safe and that it's not going to release any kind of toxins into your system and cause some nasty reactions.
I find
it hard to believe, but to be honest, I don't know enough about it, like the science behind it. I've never read any actual scientific studies regarding it. So
my mum watched a whole documentary on Botox. She told you about it, I think, about it.
She probably did. Yeah. She probably did. Yeah.
I mean, I really can't remember, but like the facts, but she did say though that it comes from old sausages or something. Like, what did she say?
Old sausages. I remember Sad telling me that is extremely expensive.
Yes,
you know,
and poisonous, and like how much was it that could like kill the whole world?
It was like it's extremely potent. Basically, the amount you're getting injected with is the tiniest of fractions, because it's that powerful.
And that the places in which they kept the, you know, stashes of this was literally secured with literally MI5 style security. It sounded like a really good documentary, actually. That's it. I mean, yeah. It's crazy.
But I guess I'm not going to say everyone that does it is disturbed or anything. I don't think that's not.
I don't think it's,
that's
you
not
know,
the case, but
I don't even think it's their
there's
fault.
A lot of that, you know, the people that get addicted to those, that kind of thing, obviously it indicates there's something, you know, fundamentally wrong. But in the end, we should just be very careful with our own bodies. because we're not going to be given another one. It's like, this is it. As far as we know, this is it. And we need to be very careful about the idea of cutting into it. And, you know, it's not something to be taken lightly.
Absolutely. Mm. Absolutely. So thank you so much for listening and joining us in our temple. Oh, Cortez, yeah, just in time.
We need to finish because Cortez is calling us. She's barking outside. And I think we've, rambled enough?
Yeah, like rambled on enough. But we hope you enjoyed our Louis Farrugh review. That's what it's going to be called. The Louis Farrugh review.
Homage, you know? Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Louis. Like, thank you for your work. It's very impressive and important.
Yeah, it is incredible. And we're excited. Next time we will be having some guests.
Well, one at a time.
One at a time for the next few episodes. So please do, you know, keep your eyes peeled for those. They're going to be some good stuff. Boom. I can feel it in my blood. Anyway, guys, stay blessed. Look after yourselves. Look after your loved ones. Look after your buddies. And we'll see you next time.
We'll see you next time.
Peace out.
Peace out. Peace. I said peace out.
Peace out, people.
Peace out.
I want to peace on the...
Oh, the...
On the bit. I want to... No, I want no, to fuck. Fuck. I want to fuck on the bit.
On the fuck on the bed.
I want to fuck on the bed.
I want to fuck on the bed.
I want to fuck on the bed right now.
I want to fuck on the bed right now.
I want to piss on the table.
No, yeah. That's it.
I want to piss on the table.
No, it's shit. You want to shit on the bed.
I want to shit on the bed.
I want to shit.
Oh, I want to fuck on the table.
I want to fuck on the table.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Sorry, guys.
Bye, everyone. Thank you for listening. Thank you.